I'm just wondering how many of you passed the cemetery on your way to church today. Let me see your hands. You passed the cemetery. I know somebody did. Yeah, Wayne and Lynn, I know they passed the cemetery. Well, cemeteries are just one reminder of the truth that you and I are going to look at today, and that's this. Unless we experience Jesus Christ's second coming to rapture us, we shall all experience physical death. From the first 11 verses of chapter 5 of Romans, you might turn there, please. From those first 11 verses, we discovered that there are several results we experience when we were justified by faith and faith alone. And I think I could mention this. It's a gift that just keeps on giving. For example, Romans 5, verse 1, we found out, man, we have peace with God. What a blessing. We also noted in verse 2 of chapter 5, we have access to God. We come in His very presence. Also in verse 2, we found out that we stand and rejoice. In what? In the hope to come. That's all future. In other words, the whole thought about salvation from the very presence of sin. And then in verses 3 through 5, we're told we glory in tribulation. Why? Well, that's what's going on in our life right now. In other words, we understand we have salvation from the power of sin over our lives. Not only from the presence of sin, that was future. That's future. But now, right now, from the power sin over lives. And then thirdly, look at this. In Romans 5, verses 6 through 10, we talked about we have been saved. Salvation from the very penalty of sin. That was past. Verse 11, we're told we are to joy in tribulations. And then finally, in that 11th verse, we discover that we now have received the atonement. We've been reconciled through faith in Christ and Christ alone. One of the things that we noted is that those words translated rejoice, glory, and joy, all of them come from the same Greek word. The gift of righteousness, which you and I received when we believed on Jesus Christ by faith and faith alone, it gives us salvation from the penalty, the power, and the very presence of sin in our life. That's why we say, indeed, it is a gift that keeps on giving. Because Jesus obeyed His Father's will, He died for us, all who believe in Him can be justified and reconciled to God, and thus receive all of these blessings we just named. All of these blessings seen right now in chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Yet, though we experience spiritual life and these many blessings, we nevertheless shall all experience physical death unless we're raptured by the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And why is that? Why is it that we're going to experience physical death? Why? Well, notice on your sheet our very first point. We're going to talk about the consequence of Adam's unrighteousness, found here in verses 12 through 14. Why do all men die? Even those who've been justified by faith? Look at verse 12 with me, please. Wherefore? As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Because Adam disobeyed his father's will, everyone is going to experience physical death. Now remember, in the beginning, God commanded Adam, and here's what he said. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Genesis 2, 16 and 17. According to Genesis chapter 3, Adam, he defiantly disobeyed the Lord, and with his wife, they did eat. But why don't we read here in verse 12, wherefore, as by one woman, sin entered into the world. Why was it by the man? Why was it not by the woman? Well, because it was Adam who directly received God's command. We saw that in Genesis 2, verse 16. And it was Adam who was given the headship over the wife. Genesis 3, verse 16. So what was the end result of Adam disobeying the Lord? Look at it here in your verse. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Now, the sin spoken of here is not any specific sin. Rather, it's a reference to the sin nature, which has been passed down from Adam to all who are in Adam. We know that when Adam sinned, he lost his innocence. He became spiritually polluted, and his sin nature was passed down to all who would come forth from his loins. Sin entered, we read here, meaning it penetrated, it permeated the whole human race. Look at your very first purpose. A lot of this today is going to be aspect of just being thankful. But look at this one. I purpose to acknowledge that Adam's sinful nature has been passed on to me. Therefore, I will physically die unless I experience the rapture. Now, if you don't learn anything else today, learn this. Our disobedience to the Lord can have adverse consequences to others. That's what you can learn from that. Your sin can have an adverse effect on many others. And you don't need me to give you a multitude of biblical examples, which I could. Achan, Saul, Peter, and on and on. You don't need me to give all these biblical illustrations. Why don't you need me to give them? Because you know this truth from your own personal experience in your own home. How your sin can have an adverse effect upon others. Look at your purpose, please. I purpose to remind myself daily that my sin can negatively affect others. That's something you ought to remind yourself every now and then. Here we read Adam's sin. Adam's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And by the way, all three of the verbs in this verse are past tense, meaning, indicating that the whole human race is in view, and they're in view as having sinned in one act of Adam's sin. Now, I'm going to try to further explain this by having you keep your marker here, but turning with me to Hebrews chapter 7. This is a mystery, this whole aspect of how sin can be imputed unto others, this whole aspect of how we who are in the loins, we're in the loins of Adam at this time, therefore, his sin was imputed to us. The way we're going to show you and try to helpfully understand this is have you focus with us with the author of Hebrews. He's trying to demonstrate to his readers that Christ's priesthood, which was after the order of Melchizedek, was much greater than the Levitical priesthood. And, well, let's see how he does this, all right? Hebrews 7, look at verse 1. Ooh. Hebrews 7, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, One of the ways we know that one is greater than the other, the greater always blesses the lesser. All right? And so we're seeing here this Melchizedek. He's referred to as a king. He's referred to as a priest. We see him blessing Abraham. Abraham's gone out. He fought five different nations, and he's had victory over them. And he's come back with the spoils. Now watch verse 2. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth of all. Here's the second way we know who's the greater is. Not only is the greater the one who blesses the lesser, but the greater is the one who receives tithes from the other. When he came back, Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek, which is in the likeness of Jesus Christ, as we'll see, show you in a minute. Therefore, we're going to see, well, I'll show you. And it says, first, being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after also the king of Salem, which is king of peace. All right, here we see just a likeness of Jesus Christ. Watch what he says. He was without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of his spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, now they're the priesthood, sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, okay, have a commandment to take tithes of the people. So the tithes are given to the Levites, okay, according to the law. That is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. Loins. They're in the loins of Abraham. Why? Because from Abraham, who would come next? Who is Abraham? Who was his son? We're going, who? Isaac. Then came who? Jacob. Jacob would have 12 sons, and who would be one of those sons? Levi. So here's what he's saying. Now we're looking down three generations, all right? There's Abraham, there's Isaac, there's Jacob, and now down here is Levi. But what he's saying here is this. Levi was in the loins of Abraham. Way back here, he's going to be the father of Levi. Now watch what we're learning, okay? Who's our father? Adam. In Adam, we are in the loins of Adam. So guess what? Way down here, just as Adam was a sinner, guess who else is a sinner? We. Why? Because we are in his loins. Now watch. Let's read on. So you can understand what's going on. Hopefully you're going to be able to understand. All right, now watch. Here's what we read. Verse 6. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham. He's talking now about Melchizedek. He received tithes of Abraham. And he blessed him, okay? He also blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the greater or better. And here men that die receive tithes. But there he receiveth them of whom it is written that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also who receiveth tithes. Now, who did Levi receive tithes? From the people, right? Well, wait a minute. He paid tithes in Abraham. Huh? For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Here's why he's saying, Jesus Christ, his priesthood, which is after Melchizedek's priesthood, is greater than the Levitical priesthood. How can that be? Well, here the priests down here, they actually gave tithes when they were in the loins of Abraham. When Abraham gave the tithes to Melchizedek, because he was in the loins, Levi also gave tithes. This is what I'm trying to help you understand when you think about how is it that we are sinners in Adam. It's the same way that Levi paid tithes to Melchizedek. He was in the loins of his father. Great-grand-great-great-grandfather. All right, now, let's take a look at what we're talking about here, or at least summarize. Jesus was after the order of Melchizedek. Thus, Levi, in Abraham's loins, he gave tithes to Jesus, indicating that Jesus is the greater. That's what he was trying to point out. In the same manner, we all come from Adam because we were all in his loins. Thus, when Adam sinned, we all sinned. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. That's what we're seeing here in this verse. Now, there's two men, Enoch, Genesis 5, 24, and Elijah, 2 Kings 2, 11, never experienced physical death, though they were surely spiritually dead until they trusted in the Lord and his word. Therefore, look at our purpose, please. I purpose to acknowledge that because I was in the loins of Adam when he sinned, I likewise sinned and therefore will physically die unless I experience the rapture. All right, so since the time of Adam's fall, all are born with a depraved sin nature. Therefore, all commit various acts of sin. But watch what's going to come. But until the law was given, sin was not imputed unto them. Look at verse 13. You must have read this and scratched your head once or twice, haven't you? For until the law, sin was not in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Verse 13, let's try to explain this to you. Verse 13 declares sin was in the world, but it was not imputed unto men. Let me take you back to Romans 3, verse 15. Listen to these words. Romans 3, 15. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there's no transgression. If men now were not sinning against the law because there was no law, why did men die? Why did they die? Well, what did they all possess? Sin nature. Why do babies who've never sinned die? They're born with a sin nature. Psalm 51, verse 5. Psalm 58, verse 3. Why could not men sin after the similitude or the likeness of Adam's transgression? Why was that not possible? Well, let me go back and remind you what God said. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat. And what was their sin? That they took of that tree and they did eat. Well, why can't we sin like that? Because there's no more what? God put them out and he what? Closed the door. Nobody can get back in the garden. It's closed. We cannot sin after the similitude or likeness of Adam. That's what he's saying here. We've been driven out of the garden. Genesis 3, verse 24. But just because men did not sin like Adam, they still possessed that sinful nature, as evidenced by the fact that they what? Not only did they sin, but they what? They what? All men what? Yeah, they die. So you can see, though, they weren't breaking the law because there was no law. They were still guilty because of their sinful nature. Now, watch. Did you see the last phrase of verse 14? It declares that Adam was a figure of him, talking about Jesus, that was to come. In other words, Jesus and Adam and Jesus, they're both heads of groups of human beings which they had a great influence. The one is for evil because of his disobedience. The other is for good because of his obedience. We're going to now note how the first Adam is contrasted with the second Adam. And there's going to be at least five contrasts we're going to look at. That brings us to our next point. We talked about the consequence of Adam's disobedience. Now, let's focus on the consequences of Jesus' righteousness with this contrast. And this is why it's good for you to follow, have your sheet and follow it. The first contrast we're going to look at is that is between Adam and Jesus is found here in verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through or by the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Through or by, look at it says, by the offense of one, that is, we're talking about Adam, came death. Now the word offense is also translated trespass, sin. Now the offense of Adam was his failure to obey God's commandment, not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what was the result of that offense? Many, we read here, many be dead. As we talked about, Enoch and Elijah, they were exceptions, all right? Many be dead. But I also want you to understand this word many. It is linked to all down in verse 18, where it speaks of the inclusive of humanity, meaning both Jews and Gentiles alike. When he's talking about many, yeah, he's talking about not only Jews, but also the Gentiles. Adam's offense now is contrasted with God's and Christ's free gift, which describes that which is given without any thought of human works. Look what we have this contrast. By the grace and gift of one, God, Jesus, comes grace. In fact, you see the words free grace? That's translated later in the same verse, grace. It's free free gift is the same Greek word as grace. Look at the phrase also here, much more. Did you see that? Much more, the grace, that free gift of God from God the Father, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, that's God the Son, hath abounded, it says, unto many. Understand what's going on. This gift of grace, it includes the Lord's justifying us by not imputing our sins upon us, but upon Jesus, and then imputing Christ's righteousness upon us. In verse 16, we're going to read of the free gift, which is justification. We look in verse 17, and you're going to see we're going to talk about the gift of righteousness. It's a gift, justification. It's a gift, righteousness. But what we're focusing on here in verse 15 is simply this: God's grace is greater than man's sin. All right? Adam's offense, it resulted, many be dead. God's grace was in sending his son to die for our sins. Christ's grace was in dying on the cross for our sins. The result was grace has abounded unto many. And again, the many are those who've been justified freely by grace when they believed on Jesus Christ. We could take you back to chapter 3 of Romans, verses 21 through 26, to again prove that. Look at your purpose. Because the grace of God in Jesus Christ is greater than Adam's offense, which leads to our death. I purpose to thank the Lord for his grace, which hath abounded unto me. That's the first contrast, but let's take a look at the second one. What's the next contrast between Adam and Jesus? Look at verse 16. And not as it was, here we go, by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift of many offenses unto justification. Now the first part of this verse declares that as by one, again Adam, came judgment. And then by one Christ came the gift for the judgment. So the first phrase, look at it on your sheet. By one Adam's sin came God's judgment, resulting in condemnation. That's found in this verse. Now, does this help you to comprehend how much God hates it when we sin? Single sin by Adam brought judgment in the form of condemnation unto all mankind. A single sin by you likewise brings God's judgment upon you. James, he declares this, for whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. James 2, verse 10. Now, in the case of Adam, he only had one law to keep, but he failed to do so. So condemnation passed upon all men. Now, in this verse, contrast that with what comes next. By one Jesus came the free gift of forgiveness, resulting in justification. The reason you and I are justified is because we've been forgiven. Because our sin was imputed on Christ, his righteousness was imputed unto us. So the free gift, Christ's single sacrifice on the cross, brought God's forgiveness for many offenses, for many sins, unto justification. God's grace is greater than all our sin. Listen to how John puts this. In 1 John 2:2, he says this, and he, that is Jesus Christ, the righteous, he's the propitiation, he's the satisfaction for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And you've heard me tell you this a number of times. Christ's death was sufficient for all sin. But it was specific for some. Who was it specific for? For his elect. For those who have been justified by faith. Purpose, please. Because the grace of God and Jesus Christ is greater than Adam's sin, which leads to our condemnation, I purpose to thank the Lord for his gift of grace, resulting in my forgiveness when I was justified by faith. But there's a third contrast here in these verses. Look at verse 17. For if, here we go again, by, you're always looking for that word by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now, this seems to be very similar to what we've already read in verses 15 and 16. But we do have something added in this verse. Watch this. By one Adam offense, they shall reign in death. Adam and Eve, they were deceived by Satan into thinking that they could reign as gods, Genesis 3, 5. But instead, sin, death, reigned over them and over those who came from his loins. But watch now the contrast. Much more again. We see that phrase, much more. Much more, they which receive. Now that's the key, people. They which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Death and life are being contrasted here. By one, Jesus Christ, they shall reign in life. So instead of Satan and sin reigning over us, by God's grace, we who receive God's grace and gift, we are alive in Jesus Christ. We shall reign in this life over sin, over Satan. 1 Corinthians 15 says it like this. Oh, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Purpose, please. Because the grace of God in Jesus Christ is greater than Adam's sin, which leads to death reigning over us, I purpose to thank the Lord for his abundance of grace and for the gift of righteousness resulting in me reigning over sin and death. A fourth contrast, though, between Adam and Jesus, found in verse 18. Therefore, as, here we go, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came up upon all men unto justification of life. First statement, look at it in your sheet. By the offense of one, here we go, Adam, comes judgment, resulting in condemnation of death. Even so, look at what comes next. By the righteousness of one, Jesus, comes the free gift, resulting in justification of life. Now, when he says, even so by righteousness of one, meaning Jesus Christ, came upon all men, and the all men got to be a reference to those who believed on Jesus Christ, because the end result is what? Justification of life. And if you want a proof text, you can flash back to Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says this, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Look at your purpose on your sheet. Because the grace of God and Jesus Christ is greater than Adam's offense, which leads to our condemnation, I purpose to thank God for his gift of righteousness, resulting in me being justified. Now there's one more contrast between Adam and Jesus. It's found in verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. All right, first of all, by one man's, that's Adam's disobedience, many were made sinners. So, here comes the contrast. By one man's, Christ, obedience, many be made righteous. That's the contrast. As the disobedience, the sin of Adam was imputed unto many, that's meaning Jews and Gentiles, so also is the obedience, the righteousness of Christ, imputed unto many. Look at your purpose here. Because the grace of God and Jesus Christ is greater than Adam's disobedience, which leads to our being made sinners, I purpose to thank the Lord for his obedience, resulting in me being made righteous. Now, finally, in this chapter, what we have is a contrast between the law and grace. So let's take a look at it as we close this morning. Verses 20 and 21. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So what do we got here? Well, here's what we have. The law entered that the offense might abound, that sin hath reigned unto death. Wrap your mind about what I'm about to say. The law, it's a pattern for righteousness. It's not the power for righteousness. Instead, the law much more readily identifies just how wicked men really are. But here the law is contrasted with grace. You see the word but? Grace did much more abound, that grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life. Here's what we're understanding this morning. No matter how much human sin continues to increase, God's grace superabounds and exceeds it all. That's what Paul is teaching us. And no matter how many laws of God you have broken, allowing sin to reign over you, leading you to death, God's grace, sending his son, and Christ's grace in dying once on the cross for your sin, imputes his righteousness unto you. And the moment that you believe in Jesus Christ, Not only is his righteousness imputed to you, but your sin is imputed unto him. And notice this, as your Savior, he imparts to you eternal life. That's what's being contrasted here. Death and life. Life and death. Therefore, look at your last purpose as we close today. Though the law reveals how our sin abounds and leads to death, I purpose to thank God for how his grace leads to righteousness and eternal life when we believe in Jesus. I guess we're still looking and enjoying our Christmas season and understanding, man, we've got some gifts. We've got a gift. And the fact that, yes, in Adam, all men die. But in Christ, all men live. And those of us who are in Christ through faith in Jesus Christ, this is the contrast. No condemnation. No judgment. No death. In Christ, there is no condemnation. In Christ, there is no judgment. In Christ, there is no death. We have but life, eternal life. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you for this fifth chapter of Romans. I don't know of any chapter that pours forth the blessings that we have through faith in Jesus Christ like this chapter does. Lord, we just want to praise God that it came at this time of the season, a time when we're remembering the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, a time when we look forward to the next year, being mindful of what we have in Jesus Christ. What we have by the free gift of God and grace of God. What we have. Lord, help us not to forget it, because we sure are prone to. Help us to be ever mindful and thankful. Lord, this coming year of all that we are and have in Jesus Christ, our Savior, in whose wonderful name we pray. Amen.